Hello, and welcome to The Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick. Thank you for listening. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're able to get through the streets without tripping over the dozens of corpses left behind in the wake of the coronavirus. It's times like this I'm glad I have a truck, because I'm able to get over all the bodies and fallen trees and streetlights that are littering the streets. We'll rebuild somehow. So I wanted to thank an Apple Podcast user, PHLD, for the wonderful 5-star review. I'm pretty sure that was my friend Phil, so thank you, Phil, if that was you. Leave a 5-star review for us on Apple Podcasts, and you'll get a shout-out on the show as well. If you like the podcast and would like to partner with me in making it happen, I'm about to launch a Patreon account. I'll have more info for you shortly, but I'll be offering early access to episodes, voting on topics, and hopefully merchandise, so stay tuned for updates on that. I'm really embarrassed to have to point this out, but last week I forgot the final verse of Romans 5. Not sure how I left it out. I think what happened was I dove into some unfinished notes without checking to make sure I had all the verses, and then I finished those notes, thought I was done, and yeah, I wasn't done. So past episodes suffice to explain the content of those verses, so we don't need to cover them today. I just wanted you all to know that I realized my mistake. I was doing some work on the day that the episode dropped, and when I saw a commentary covering 5:21, I turned white as a ghost and had this overwhelming sense of dread, like I was in trouble. And then I realized that this is my podcast, and I answer to no one. So good news there. Getting back into Romans today, we're starting chapter 6, and I think we're going to break this chapter into 2 episodes, and then we'll be done with the series. So just to reiterate, the reason I wanted to break down Romans 5 and 6 was because these chapters are foundational to the overall vision of the show, which is Christ's victory over sin and death. So I hope you've enjoyed going through it so far, and I'm looking forward to other episodes we can do to flesh out that theme. So let's get into chapter 6. So verse 1 and 2 say, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" Chapter 5 ends with grace abounding over sin. So the natural question that arises is, does it matter if I sin? Does sin matter anymore at all? If my sins are paid for and sin is defeated and grace is reigning and abounding over sin, then does it matter if I still sin? If I'm saved and I can't lose my salvation, why would it matter if I sin? The rest of this chapter fleshes out the answer to this, but in verse 2 it tells us we have died to sin. It asks the question, how can we still live in it if we've died to it? Verses 3 and 4 go on to say even more. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." The reason we can't live in sin is because when we were saved, we were baptized into Jesus' death. The word for baptism means submerge. I hope we have some Presbyterian baby sprinklers listening. I'm a Baptist and believe you should be submerged in water when you're baptized, but the reason not everyone has to interpret it that way is because of a verse like this. How is the concept of submersion being used here? It's not literal submersion in water, even though I think that would be proper practice. It's submersion into the work of Christ. And since we are submerged into Jesus' work and brought into his kingdom, and our nature is changed from unregenerate to regenerate, we are now by nature at odds with sin and death. The destiny of believers is to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So when we sin, we are doing something that is at odds with our destiny. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We are buried with him, and we are raised with him. We are included in his work. We are submerged in his work. We are counted righteous on account of that work. This is more imagery of Christ being our federal head, just like we covered in all the past episodes on Romans. This also shows us that baptism is a symbol of the end of death. I would even argue that baptism is a symbol of our future resurrection yet to come, like almost like a down payment. That's another episode for another time. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Our old selves are completely destroyed and recreated, restoring the image of God lost at the fall. We're remade in the image of Christ's resurrection, and we are set free from our slavery to sin when this happens. But we'll get into that more later. For one who has died has been set free from sin, verse 7 says. The wages of sin is death. That's verse 23. We still won't get to that until next week, but it colors the entire series we've been doing thus far. That's why I think I've quoted it in every single episode covering Romans. Death is a result of sin, so without sin, you cannot die. But if death is the punishment for sin, you can't be free from sin until you die. I'm obviously not saying you have to literally die, but by being included or submerged with Christ's death, we're considered dead to sin, which leads exactly into the next verse, verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. In addition to being dead to sin, an equally important fact arises: we're alive with Christ. We're alive in a different way. We're no longer dead in our sins and trespasses. We are no longer blind and deaf to the things of God. We are partakers in his resurrection. But the way we live with him is different than just living. Living in and with him means a lot of things, but in context here, it means our relationship with sin is a lot different. Verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. That is one of the greatest truths when it comes to our battle with sin. I have a paraphrase of this verse tattooed on my arm. Death no longer has dominion over Jesus because he has satisfied the payment for sin and he's been raised from the dead, and therefore it has no dominion over us either because we're partakers in that same resurrection. Verse 10 says, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And the practical application of all of this comes in verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This has been the most important verse for fighting sin in my life. All the things Paul has said in this chapter lead to this point. Death has no dominion over you, so consider yourself dead to it. It is in this act of faith in which we actively consider our standing before God. When we receive the power from God to fight sin, we have to acknowledge that we as Christians are not slaves to sin anymore, and therefore we don't have to sin. I'm not saying you won't sin, or if you do sin, you're not a Christian. I'm saying that you don't have to. Isn't that wild to think about? Do we live our lives that way? I don't, not always. I wish I did it all the time. Imagine facing every decision in your day-to-day life and realizing before every choice you made, I don't have to sin. Verses 12 through 14 say, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. We all learned in youth group that when we see a therefore in the Bible, we ask, what is it there for? So in I made myself laugh. So in verse 12, when Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, his point is once again, in light of everything he's been saying about sin in the life of the Christian, because we're baptized into Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we can't continue in sin. We don't lose our salvation because we sin, but that doesn't mean that we should be sinning. Sin isn't just opposed to God's kingdom because of some arbitrary rule. It's because sin truly is destructive and hurtful. In verse 13, it says to present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. It's basically saying, conduct yourself like people who have been redeemed from sin and death. Conduct yourselves like people who sin and death has no dominion over. Conduct yourself like people who are not slaves to sin anymore. Paul says in Ephesians, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 14 in chapter 6 of Romans reiterates that sin has no dominion over us, and then says we're not under law, but under grace. Now that sounds like a recipe for antinomianism if I've ever heard one. It's saying we're not under the law, so we should sin and do whatever we want, right? Incorrect, good sir. There are a lot of different laws in Scripture, so it gets a little confusing. There's natural law, there's Mosaic law, of which there's the moral, national, and ceremonial, and probably even more. The law we're dealing with here is the law of sin and death. Romans 7 and 8 will mention the law of sin and death, but it's already very present in chapter 6. The law of sin and death is basically verse 23. Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. That's the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. Sin leads to death the same way letting go of something in midair leads to it falling on the ground. That is the law we're no longer under. When Jesus died without sin, he broke the law of sin and death and was raised because sin and death no longer had dominion over him. So too, sin and death has no dominion over the elect. And we can rely on his work by faith to resist sin the same way we rest in his grace when we fail. All right, that's going to do it for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to everybody who's praying for my fiance and I this week. She's doing great, and she appreciates your prayers. Follow at Death of Death Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep in touch with us. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app and leave a 5-star review. Share this episode on social media and tell some friends. Email me at deathofdeathpodcast@gmail.com. Go to deathofdeath.net and subscribe to the email list. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that you don't have to sin. And if you're as committed to proclaiming Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.